This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
Good Saturday, everybody. Welcome into another edition of the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Mike Herzing and Matt Perrault. We got a lot of good things to get to on the show today. Talk a little Volvo today. We'll talk a little bit of our automotive car reviews. And as always, your questions. You guys have gone to letstalkwheels.com to email questions in to talk to Mr. Herzing and get his expertise on anything and everything car related. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, big guy. Boy, it's been a crazy week. It's either been warm or cold.
It's March.
What the heck, it's either 78 or 80, and then it's 50s. So it's been nuts. But you know what? We've got a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff happening in the automotive industry, and we're going to talk about this.
Yeah, I'm excited to get into a couple of the cool things that are happening around the country for us automotive-wise. And I think if you're somebody who likes cars, who is interested in automotives, this is a really fun time and a lot of interesting stories that are out there. And you talked, we have two guests coming up today in the show, yep. Mike. Well, why don't you go ahead and tell us who you talked to?
Well, first of all, I talked to David Anderton. He's with the Pate Swap Meet. Now, that thing about Swap Meet, what is that? That's like a giant garage sale and everything else for car people. And it's at Texas Motor Speedway. There is 20 miles of stuff. If you walked every street and every row, it's a little over 20 miles of car parts, motorcycle parts, antique, classic, hot rod stuff, and also things like, you know, signs that say Citgo and Esso and all the old classic kinds and all the material. I bought a stoplight there last year came from an old town, little
wow.
town. And you can buy all kinds of cool stuff and gas pumps and all that stuff. So it's one of those pickers things. And then I also talked to the folks at Earthwater. Now, that's out of Dallas. And Earthwater is what some of the race car drivers are using to stay hydrated. They have a NASCAR team, and Ooh. They also sponsor some off-road desert racing teams, my son's team included. And they have getting them a real edge for hydration. You know, you get so dehydrated in this stuff, this gives them an edge. And these folks are going to tell us how they do it.
Very cool. Yeah, and we'll get into a bit on the Mint 400 coming up in the next segment, because I want to ask you a couple of questions about that in case you sure. don't know what that is. It's a massive race here in Las Vegas, and
yeah.
the videos that were coming out were
yeah, it was
wild.
A great race.
Absolutely wild. So we'll do that coming up. Interviews, car reviews, and more all coming up. Don't move. Much more on this week's edition of the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Here's Matt Perrault and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
It's the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. This segment being brought to you by Ram Trucks, built for a world that demands more. Introducing the all-new 2019 Ram 1500. Matt Perrault, Mike Herzing. Before we talk about this Volvo story, mm-hmm. Mike, so here in Vegas, there is this incredible event called the Mint 400 every year in March. And your sons are involved in this. It just wrapped up. For those people who don't know what the Mint 400 is, however, what is it?
It's the largest off-road race in the United States. Every year. It's 400 miles. It's off-road desert racing. It's the most nastiest stuff you can ever imagine. Sometimes it's 60 degrees. Sometimes it's 90 degrees. This year it was about medium, somewhere through there. And there are usually 300, 400, maybe 500 vehicles that start on this thing. It's crazy.
Your sons are involved in it. Mm-hmm. And so what was their experience this year in the Mint 400?
Well, they run both series. That's the Best in the Desert series. That's for the Mint 400. And they also run the Score series, which is all in Mexico, like the Baja 1000 and the Baja 500. This year, the Score, they had a three-car team. One car won the sportsman class, won their class. That was exciting, their first time out. That was great. One of the other cars got T-boned, got hit sideways by another car that was off the trail, and then hit them and knocked them over, flipped them upside down, and they got that straightened out. Then they blew up a transmission and had to change the transmission on the side of the trail in the dirt, which took them a little over an hour, and they finished, mid-pack, like 15th or so, which is not so bad. And then the other car did really well, and I think they finished fourth in their class or something like that. But they're in the UTV Unlimited class, and it's really competitive, really, really competitive. And this is – they'll have about 5 pit stops, and they're maybe way out in the desert, and there's no electricity. You're just on the side of the – there's dirt trails, and they're going 80 miles an hour. It's nuts.
Yeah, some of the videos were just incredible, but you used to race motorcycles, and, yes. And I'm curious, did you ever dirt race?
I played around in local dirt off-road racing and that kind of stuff. I did enduros and things like that. But when I raced GP, road racing, all for 15 years, and I did the stuff at Daytona and Road Atlanta and Talladega and all those different racetracks. So the stuff I was doing was the 180-mile-an-hour stuff on a motorcycle, and these guys are doing the desert racing, which I don't think I have the stamina to do that. Definitely not anymore.
I mean, the dirt and the dust and the just to go and, like, I mean, it's already crazy as is in the vehicles and the trucks, but to be in a motorcycle and a two-wheeler just seems to be that's asking a lot.
It's nuts.
I don't think I can handle that. But
it's the heat, too. Not only 400 miles, but the heat. I mean, they're wearing a Nomex driving suit, full face helmet. Now, they have a vent, just like NASCAR, not an air conditioner, but just the cool air, just air coming down on your head. But they get so hot. I mean, sometimes it's 120 degrees, you know, and their body temperature gets so high. They'll lose up to 10% of their body weight in water weight. So they'll sweat out that much, and they can drink all they want. And they've started using this product called Earth Water, which we're going to talk about later, that all these athletes are using, and they're getting the real edge on it. So I wasn't going to talk about that in the next segment, but, it's crazy what they're doing with the stuff. And a lot of the NASCAR drivers have started to use it because it lets your body absorb the water, because these guys have to get an IV when they pull in for the pits. Just like football players do that.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You know, or, you know, that kind of stuff. But
you probably do it in March, too. They don't do it in August.
Yeah, no kidding.
You do it where it's a little cooler. But, I mean, it was really neat because, I mean, they moved it. I mean, just living here in Vegas, the one thing that the Mint 400s tried to do is they want to capture more attention in the city. Mm-hmm. And so they've done more things with driving the trucks down Las Vegas Boulevard and, you know, having events in, you know, downtown Las Vegas on the Fremont Street area for those people who have been to Vegas before.
That's where they started. That's where the start was, the Fremont Street.
They actually renamed an area called the Mint 400 Boulevard for the weekend, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, over 25,000 attendees came in, fans and people from all over the globe coming into this. And so they're really trying to do bigger things. And they moved the finish line out to Prim, and they've tried to bring it closer to Vegas. So it's not so much of a Nevada event, more of a Vegas event, which I think is pretty smart, to be honest.
The people in Vegas are pretty smart. You know, these trophy trucks are doing 125 miles an hour. They have like 850, 900 horsepower. They get a whopping 3 miles per gallon, you know, of race fuel. I mean, these things cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're easily as expensive as a NASCAR.
And it's incredible.
It's incredible what they do. And these guys are serious athletes.
Well,
and they're kind of crazy going through the desert at 100 something. There's one of them that there's a thing that you sent me about the guys flipping over end over end, and they weren't hurt. But isn't that crazy?
No, luckily they weren't. But they got airborne and they got sideways, and it was crazy to watch this guys coming through really fast and coming through the course a little bit too quickly and getting a lot of air underneath them in the tires, and it was quite wild to watch. But you know, speaking of speed. Well, if those trucks are going 125 in the desert, Volvo wouldn't like it.
They wouldn't.
Because Volvo said this week that they plan on limiting the top speed to their vehicles to be 112 miles per hour, starting with production models in 2021. I know speed kills, okay? I get that. But if you're driving drunk at 80 miles an hour, it doesn't matter if you're going 75 or 110, right? I mean, this seems a little strange that they're trying to limit the deaths by saying we're not going to let people drive fast.
Yeah, well, this isn't, you know, they're not the first ones to try to do this. But all these European automakers always had this little gentleman's agreement that limit the top speeds to about 155. I mean, and people are going to ask, I mean, I'm sure our listeners are going, wait a minute. If you don't worry about going 112, I'll never go that fast. So who gives a darn, you know? It's to me, it's more like, so I want these guys in my business, you know, it's kind of creepy as it is because they know exactly how you're going, where you're going, and how fast you're going and what gear you're in. If you have an accident and you say, I wasn't going that fast, all they got to do is get into your computer. Anybody can look into your computer and they'll see exactly how fast you were going when you had the accident.
Yeah, people don't know that. The computers.
Yeah.
Big Brother's a bit part of more of our lives when it comes to driving than we actually want to think about.
I'm preaching the choir because they have an EDR, event data recorder. Okay, it's built into all these new vehicles. So what you do is if you have a wreck and everything, you go and you unhook the battery and short that thing out. So that way people don't. But it makes. I hate the Big Brother side of it. That's. You know, maybe I'm just being a rebel, but, you know.
Well, no, and that too, but I think they're going one step farther with this is not only are they going to say, okay, you can't drive more than 112 miles per hour with our vehicles, but they're going to consider geofencing around like hospitals and schools where the car physically cannot go faster than the speed limit, which I kind of like and I kind of hate. Yeah. Because what happens on a Monday where it's a state holiday and the car doesn't know it's a state holiday and you're driving through a school zone and it's no longer, you know, school, the flasher's not going, so you can drive normally like 30 miles an hour, but it wants you to drive 10 miles per hour, so the car just all of a sudden slams you down to 10 miles per hour.
Yep.
So it's a little more complicated than just saying, okay, we're going to geo-target and say you can't go faster in this area or that area. But again, it gets back to kind of like the Big Brother thing here. I'm all for safety technology, but you are kind of getting into the idea of taking the wheel out of the hands of the drivers, are we not?
Well, yeah, no kidding. And also, think about what happens when your car slams on the brakes and goes down to 10 or 15 miles an hour, and the guy behind you,
right.
Hey, all of a sudden he's going 40, and he just runs in the back of you. We have a lot of areas where it's 45, and then it drops down to 20 as a, for its school zone, and I'm all for that. Trust me, I do
right.
not speed. I was a teacher. I do not speed in school zones. And if I go down to slow down like that, these guys almost run over me. So if it's a weekend or a holiday or some school's closed for some reason, like bad weather, oh, my gosh. But also, it's to me, it's like, okay, if they can do this, that means somebody can hack into it. People can hack in to your – people can hack in. I just read the other day. People can hack into your pacemaker.
Ooh.
Okay. Did you know that?
Yes, it did. That's awful.
Can be hacked into. So wait a minute. So a car is going to be really easy.
Yeah, it's interesting. The NTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, blames excess speed for 26% of the highway deaths that are out there. However, some people who have dived deep into those numbers have sort of said, well, that's actually not the case because there's different factors at play here, whether it be weather, rain, you know, driving fast in the rain. Here in Las Vegas, nobody can drive in the rain, so people have a tough time. They're going too fast. They can't stop. There's other factors besides speed is a factor, but it's not the only factor in why somebody crashes and dies. So I don't know. I think Volvo is going out on a limb here, yeah. And I think that the U.S. market may not appreciate that all that much. Because, look, I'm not saying you should be driving 112 miles per hour or higher on the highway.
Well, in Texas, there are speed limits are 85.
Right.
So, I mean, come on. So you can't even.
Yeah, it's not that smart. All right. Coming up next in the next segment, Mike, tell us who we're talking to.
We're talking to David Anderton from the Pate Swap Meet and also Buddy Barnes from Earthwater, the feeds I was telling you about that have all the really cool water.
Very cool. We'll do that all coming up in the next segment. Car reviews, question and answers as well, all still to come on this week's edition of the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Here's Matt Perrault and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Wheels. I'm Mike Herzing and with my partner, Matt Perrault, joins us in Las Vegas. And tell you what, guys, we have a great thing happening on in just a second, but I want to talk to you at Nissan. We just made our choice for a new car, an easier one than ever. With our most exciting and fuel-efficient lineup, the choice is yours, folks. Now get a great offers across the full line of Nissans. Shop your local Nissan store today and choose Nissan.com. And I tell you what, this week we are talking about the guys from Pate Swap Meet. I'd mentioned this before on the show, and I'm sure you guys remember it. It's one of my favorite events. It's here in Texas, but it's really open to the nation. And we have David Anderton, who's out there in Dallas. He's going to talk to us about the Pate Swap Meet. David, welcome to Let's Talk Wheels. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, real good.
Cool. I tell you what, how many years they've been doing the Pate Swap Meet?
Since 1972.
Okay, so you're like in 47 years doing this thing. Wow, you guys ought to know what you're doing. How did it start? I mean, all this thing that are available, swap meets haven't been around or aren't as popular as they used to be, but you guys seem to be gathering more and more, you know, people coming in. So tell us how it started and what you guys do to keep everybody coming in.
It started originally with some guys in Houston who decided they wanted a world-class swap meet that would rival the Hershey swap meet in Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
They picked, it was actually at the time, it was a Pate Museum of Transportation, and he helped us get started, and every year it has just grown and grown, but they decided that Fort Worth Dallas area was kind of central in Texas, and it would be a good area, and every year, we have just gotten bigger and bigger. In 1997, they closed the museum, and we moved to Texas Motor Speedway.
Okay. That's a big place to show something like this. Do you do it on the infield, or where do y'all do this?
We actually do it on the parking lot on the west side of the track, and we cover that whole parking lot. That parking lot is over a mile long from one end to the other, and then there's another little area we cover called Hospitality Village.
Okay.
And all, we have close to 10,000 vendor spaces.
Wow, that's a lot. I mean, tell you what, you guys have a lot of space there. Now, so you're outside the parking lot. That's one of the biggest venues in the United States. I think it's right behind Indianapolis Motor Speedway as far as acreage for a venue. And so that parking lot is absolutely huge. Now, you guys have over 9,000, almost 10,000 vendor spaces. And you have, I remember last year, I think I read the article, and it was there, you had over 200,000 people come through the event. Now, it's a three-day event, right?
Basically, we start officially on Thursday through Saturday.
Okay.
The gates, we actually don't open gates, but we're usually in business from about 7 in the morning till 6 in the evening.
Okay, it's there you go.
So it runs all day.
Okay, runs all day. Now, I know a swap, for people that don't understand what an automotive swap meet is, it's of course, the Internet's here, so all the younger people don't know. But before the Internet came, that was the only way you could really get a bunch of parts and vehicles together, and all the people that are like-minded could get there and swap parts and get, you know, all kinds of the stuff that they, just the one thing that they didn't have. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you can find anything and everything at a swap meet, from old car parts to just about anything you can imagine. If you're looking for a kitchen sink, it's there somewhere.
You know, it's crazy. I remember going in there year before last, for one of the producers here, and he had a 41 Mercury, and he had a flathead, I think it's a V8, and he needed a timing cover, which is where the distributor was mounted. And I'm like, he says, I bet you can find one. I was like, yeah, I don't know about that. I walked in, within 5 minutes, I found it. The second person I asked, he goes, oh, yeah, I got a couple of them here. It was originally off a 41 model, and I was like, oh, my gosh. It was a whole $20, and it was amazing what you could find there. And I also, that day, I bought a big traffic light, okay, and it came out of some little town in Arkansas, would have sent that redid all their lights, and this guy bought it, and I've got it in my garage, you know, and so it's all this cool stuff for outfitting your man cave and things like that. But also, you guys have something called the Car Corral, where you have a bunch of cars for sale, don't you?
Yes, in the Car Corral, we have about, last year, I think there was 330 cars in the Car Corral for sale.
Okay, so basically, if I want to go in, and if I want to go to the swap meet, it's at Texas Motor Speedway. Everybody knows where that is. And you've got people coming in from all across the country, right?
We've had people in from New Zealand. I have people that are calling me. I've had people from Colorado and Nova Scotia call me this year so far, wanting to know where to stay and, what they can do.
Okay, folks, this is Mike Herzing, Let's Talk Wheels, and we're talking to David Anderton from Pate Swap Meet, and that event is April 25th through 27th at Texas Motor Speedway. And, David, I mean, I tell you what, you guys have got everything there, including vehicles for sale, parts for sale, accessories, tires, wheels. They have I remember seeing a bunch of guys that were selling, like, Citgo signs and gas pumps and things like that, right?
Yes. We have just about anything automotive you can imagine. Last year, there was a man who had the front end of a Learjet.
Okay. So, I've seen a helicopter there, half of a helicopter. Yeah, I think I'm going to get one of those 59 Cadillac deals where it's the back end and they make it into a couch. I love those.
I'm sure there's one there, or probably the pieces to build one.
Okay, where can we find out more about it? Do you have a website?
Our website is Pate Swap Meet, and it has most all the information you could need to know about Swap Meet.
Okay, and also you also have something on Facebook, right? Facebook is just Pate Swap Meet, right?
Yes, everything is just listed as Pate Swap Meet.
Okay.
So we are on Facebook and all the other social medias.
Okay, so that's P-A-T-E swap meet. So, folks, check out PATE swapmeet.com, or also find them on Facebook as Pate Swap Meet. And, David, I tell you what, I am so excited about going this year.
Yeah, we should be bigger than ever. This year we also have a car show on adjacent to the car corral.
That's right, and Wheels for Wellness, right, the car show?
Yes, it's Wheels for Wellness, and it is a foundation that promotes men's health through PSA testing. And, you know, it's a very good organization. Every year they find several men who end up testing in the risk area for prostate cancer. Well, so it's a worthy cause.
Yes, it is. I've had it, so I know what it's like. So, all right, folks, don't forget Pate Swap Meet, the April 25th, 6th, and 7th, and be sure to go to the Wheels for Wellness charity car show on that Saturday. David Anderton, thanks for joining. Let's Talk Wheels today.
All right, thank you.
All right, folks, now we got somebody else to talk to. All right, the folks at Earthwater up in Dallas. Hi, guys, this is Mike Herzing, Let's Talk Wheels, SB Nation Radio Network. We're over here in Addison, Texas, just north of Dallas, and we're going to find out the secret between some of these race drivers that are doing so well, and they keep swearing about a product called Earthwater. And I'm here with Buddy Barnes, who's the CFO of the company. He's going to tell us what in the heck this stuff is and why it's helping these drivers do so much better. Welcome to Let's Talk Wheels.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Fulham is a product of Earthwater. Earthwater is a company here in Addison. We've been around since 2013. We've got a website called earthwater.com. We sell our products there, and we also sell our products on Amazon. But it is a product that has 72 plus trace minerals that are needed for your body. And race extreme athletes are finding that to be rehydrated, they need to use something other than just plain water. And the minerals in this product allow you to absorb water more efficiently, mm-hmm. and for your body to use those nutrients better.
Okay, yeah, I know that, because just because you're drinking it doesn't mean your body's absorbing
exactly.
it. Exactly. And you were talking about one of the NASCAR drivers. They finished the race and he's swollen up and he has to go in and get the IVs.
Right.
And your driver has a shower and goes home.
Right. Texas Motor Speedway has two races here a year on NASCAR. And in the November race, it was hot. Sometimes in Texas, it's hot in November. It gets about 120 degrees inside that car. The athletes, the drivers are athletes, and they lose about 15 to 20% of their body weight sitting in a car for 3 hours. And the winner was Jimmy Johnson. He got out of his car. He was beet red. He was slurring his words. He had to go behind the winner's circle into the medical tent and get bags of fluid, saline solution, because he was so dehydrated. Our driver, who had been drinking earth water all day, got in his car, or took a shower, got in his car, and went to the airport.
Well, yeah, that's a big difference. And I know some of the guys, my son raced the Baja 1000, and the same thing here. They're coming into the pits, and everybody's got their IVs. They're all right. Sitting there with lounges over here, and all these drivers are getting IVs. This kept them from having to do it. So, folks, I can tell you, it works. Now, think about this for football players or even like spring training in high schools.
Absolutely.
It's hot, okay?
Absolutely.
This would help?
Yeah, for two-a-days for the high school athletes, it's it can be brutal in Texas. And we've seen this happen with sports teams, soccer in particular, where athletes are running all day long, and they're rehydrating better with earth water than with plain water or with a sugary sports drink.
Buddy, thanks for joining Let's Talk
you
with
bet.
Us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, folks. We'll be right back.
This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Here's Matt Perrault and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
It's the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. This segment of the program being brought to you by our friends at Jeep. The beginning of the year is a perfect time to bring out your very best. So go farther and dream bigger in a Jeep brand vehicle. Hurry in for great deals now at the Jeep Start Something event, new event here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Okay, time for automotive reviews before we do question and answers. Mike, I was driving a 2019 Mazda CX-3. It sounds like you were on the other end of the spectrum.
I might have been on the other end of the spectrum. I was driving a 2019 BMW X4. And it's called it the 3.0i. All those weird numbers, but it's basically more of a it's an SUV that's really whoopty swoopty. It's kind of got a real low line here, and it's a very sexy looking SUV. Not boxy. It's not a mom mobile, unless you might be a supermodel. But it's a really nice vehicle. It's totally redesigned for 2019. A lot of new features and everything. This is the first year of the second X4 generation. You can get this in a 2-liter, and you can also make it into the V6 and everything. This one had the little 2-liter four-cylinder, and you know it's 248 horsepower. It's got an 8-speed transmission, and it runs pretty good. You do have a little bit of the takeoff at the line turbo lag on a 2-liter. I think probably the model to get would be the V6 for me. Mm-hmm. But there's different trim levels and everything. They also the X drive, which means it's all wheel drive. The turbo cylinder is great, all right? But they also make an M440i, which is the turbocharged 3-liter inline six cylinder with 355 horsepower. That scoots. This one is really nice. Don't get me wrong, it's got the 19-inch wheel, sport tune suspension, LED lights, automatic wipers, big old sunroof, power liftgate, front and rear parking sensors, selectable drive modes. Okay, you can get sport, like you always leave it at every vehicle. You look around, you know how Matt Peralta is. He looks around, okay, there's sport mode. I leave it in there the whole time. But, you know, this thing gets great fuel economy. It's like it's rated at 29 miles per gallon on the highway, and it gets it really easily. It's so quiet inside. It's so comfortable. Fit and finish, superb, okay? This thing is just beautiful. The paint is beautiful. The interior is beautiful. But it is not real cushy. It's kind of firm, like the Germans like, okay?
Yeah.
It's a nice vehicle for that. It's got all the dual-zone climbing, and it's got the rear seats are 40-20-40, so they split up a little bit. It does have something that's kind of cool. They got an infotainment system with a 10.3-inch display with a nav and Bluetooth and 12-speaker sound and Apple CarPlay and all that other stuff. And it's got the forward collision warning and all the, you know, blind spot monitors and all those kind of good things, you know, adaptive cruise control. But you can do things on the big old screen with hand gestures. You just move this or that. You know, I'm not talking the one with the middle finger, but I'm talking about all the other hand gestures, okay? But it's really kind of cool and work. And it's also got this 360 around view. It's got all these cameras. So you can look behind you and you can say, okay, I want a view from the front. And it shows the car kind of like projected onto the scene, and there's everything in the back. So you can look around your car with this 360-degree view. It's hard to explain, but it's so cool. It's a really neat vehicle. It's loaded like you figure on a BMW. These things, and you know what's wild is it's put together in Spartanburg, South Carolina. So U.S.-Canadian parts is 30%, German is 40%, Mexican is 20%. So they're not necessarily just German cars anymore. They're everywhere. These are world cars. But it performs good. It handles good. It's super quiet inside. It looks typical BMW. It's sexy. Mm. All the goodies, like I said, giant panoramic moonroof. Your daughter would love this one, Matt, because it's huge. But it's all the park. You know, go to park, and it tells you, okay, you're getting too close to this vehicle. The sensors go off, or you're backing up. It'll stop you. It has automatic braking and all these things. If somebody's coming across the parking lot, it saves you from wrinkling your new BMW. If you're looking at something like this, you know, this one was $61,000, and it goes 61 and up. Basically, the base price is in the 50s. But I had the special leather. It was a kind of a red-looking color. All the convenience packages, the driving assistance package, all the active driving controls, had the premium package with all of the heated seats and heads-up display and gesture control. And so it's cool stuff. Go check out the BMWs. You're looking for a mid-size SUV, this would be it.
Very cool. I was on the other end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. So I was driving a 2019 Mazda CX-3.
Fun little car.
It's a fun little car. It's part of the first, you know, CX-3 generation, which came back in 2016. And, I mean, so not a ton of things that are new. So if you've driven this car before, I wouldn't say the 19s are entirely new, but the engine's a little bit more powerful. I love the infotainment system in these Mazdas. I love the wheel in the center console to be able to control everything and control volume and control your audio inputs. And it makes it very easy, very simple to use without having to move your eyes. The heads-up display is very clear and nice to see on a vehicle here that's pretty much, you know, you can get it starting at 21. You can get it, you know, kind of, you know, loaded up at about 25, 26 is where I was driving. It's not the sleekest or the most stylish, but it's an attractive, comfortable interior. In particular, if you don't have a family, if you're in a city, it's got a nice, you know, the cargo space in the back's not bad. I wouldn't put large adults in the back seat, okay?
Right.
If you have a family, I don't think this is the size vehicle you want. I think if you're a single person in the city, this is perfect. If you're chucking your gym bag in the back seat, or maybe your dog's going in the back seat, beautiful. You're putting a kid, you're putting a family, you're putting the mom and dad, not great. Not that big, not huge. Great fuel economy, though, for a crossover. I mean, we're talking, you can get 28, 29, 30 miles per gallon on this,
right,
which I liked a lot.
Yeah, but there's so much fun to drive, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's quick and it scoots and it's fun and it's very responsive. I mean, this is Mazda's thing, right? I mean, Mazda wants their engines to go. They want you to have a driver experience. It's the zoom side of things, right? So, you know, this does fit right into that. I mean, not the biggest of engines, 148 horsepower, but enough to get you there, you know, enough to go where you want it to go. It's got your cool, the Mazda Connect infotainment system, as I mentioned. I love 7-inch touchscreen, which is great. The rearview camera, this is really clear. Bluetooth, 2 USB ports. I still want more than 2, but it's better than some other cars. Only have 1. 6-speaker audio system, which is really nice. You've got your advanced safety features, which are great. The front collision warning, which, by the way, is incredibly aggressive. The one thing that did scare the holy heck out of me with this thing is if you have somebody who's in front of you who is turning into, like, say, a parking space or turning into a road or a street, and they don't go fast, they kind of slowly go, and you kind of move your way around them, the vehicle doesn't really recognize that and will slam on the brakes for you. And so I almost got into an accident because I was trying to avoid an accident, and it thinks it was trying to protect me, but instead it almost got me into one. So that's one of the things when you're driving with your front collision warning system with automatic braking. In particular, if you're under 19 miles per hour, this thing will stop fast, and it did for me for sure. Blind spot monitoring's nice. Your rear traffic awareness, which is something that is, I think every car should have standard by now, right? I mean,
yeah,
all these new
really
cars should have these safety features because it makes you such a better driver. It protects you in so many different ways. I mean, autonomous driving vehicles are great, but the highly specialized safety features that should be standard on so many cars really could do a number on eliminating a lot of the collisions that are out there in low-speed crashes that happened all the time. So, I mean, this is a perfect college kid car. If you're looking for a vehicle to buy this coming October, you know, September, August, whatever, your kid's going to school, this car is awesome because it's got the trunk space to fill up everything for the dorm room. It's got all the safety features you would want. It's not the biggest, most powerful of engines, but it's good enough, and it will get you there when it needs to get there. And plus, great fuel economy, which is really nice. The safety features are great with the up level trim levels, which will go up to be a bit more of on the luxurious side. I really liked the leather interior, very cool cream color, which was nice. I was driving a bright red version, which was really nice, which I liked a lot.
Yeah, that Mazda red is pretty.
Yeah. The heated steering wheel actually came in really nicely because it was freezing cold the week that I was driving this thing in here in Vegas. So that was really nice. And you've got your pedestrian detection warning, which is nice. They have some advanced safety features if you want to go up in level where you got your 7-speaker Bose and your paddle system, which this one I did have with the Grand Touring Edition.
Mm-hmm.
Your lane departure warning, which was nice, automatic high beams on it, adaptive cruise control with a full speed range to be able to make sure you're on the highway and you can kind of let you take off some of the worries there, which is really nice as well. Mm-hmm. So, again, this thing can be fully loaded at 27, but you also can get it stripped down all the way down to closer to 20, 21,000 for the 2019 Mazda CX-3. I do like the bigger versions. The CX-5 I really like a lot, but if that's too big for you and you want a smaller vehicle for city life or single life, I think this vehicle is really nice and really fun for you. So check out the 2019 Mazda CX-3 for sure. All right, Mike, time for some questions. Folks, go to letstalkwheels.com. We're going to send in some questions for you. We're going to start with Gerald. He's retiring in 187 days.
Who's counting?
He's counting it down. He wants to travel, take his two German Shepherds with him. Should he get a 24 or 30-foot travel trailer with an HD truck, or get a Class C motorhome and tow his Jeep behind it?
I would get a motorhome in a heartbeat because he'd have a place to put the dogs. And they'd be running around, and he can pull over and everything. It's just a little bit different maintenance, maybe sometimes a little bit more. But he has a Jeep already. He can tow it around. That's what I would do. Carrying dogs on the road can be a pain, especially big dogs.
Well, I mean, so my experiences with this are my brother has a fifth wheel, but it's built onto the actual bed of a Ram 3500.
Right.
So it's all one unit. The fifth wheels scare me because of the jackknifing potential.
Right.
And depends on how experienced you are driving on highways and driving down. I mean, here in Vegas, I can't tell you, when we go to Utah, almost every time we're driving in Utah, there's a section of the road that goes through the mountains that weaves. And almost every time we see someone on the side of the road who's had an experience where they've lost control of their fifth wheel and their car, truck is jackknifed. So I'm with you. I think motorhomes, all one unit, larger areas for the dogs, and then you're towing the vehicle behind it, which makes it much more simple to stop, park, leave the RV, get in the Jeep, and go around. So, I'm with you on that for sure.
When you're traveling in the motorhome, there are people just wandering around. When you're traveling with a fifth wheel, everybody's in the truck.
Right.
They're not in the fifth wheel.
Right.
On a motorhome, you're in the camper as you drive.
Yep.
So it's always...
Which can present some problems. I mean, that can be somewhat dangerous, but...
Have them buckled in when they're sitting, but if they want to get up for a minute and go to the bathroom or get up in a minute, make some coffee with the microwave, you can do that. I've done it for years.
I love it.
You know?
Absolutely. I mean, for 5 years, I took an RV to every Alabama football game.
There you go.
It was the most fun of my 5 years of my career. The highlight was taking a motorhome around the country, around the SEC.
And they're not hard to drive. They're really, you get used to it.
If I can drive it.
Yeah, you can drive it. But it doesn't have a sport mode.
Nope, doesn't have a sport mode. That's true. Although I did crash into my fair share of cones, though. When you put cones up on college campuses, they'll separate lanes with cones. And I was like, dun, 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 running over cars, running over those cones. So I wasn't the best at driving on the road. But I did get us from A to B without ruining or wrecking any RVs for 5 years.
Yeah, they just figured you were a Georgia fan or something.
Yeah, someone who did not know how to drive in Tuscaloosa. That's for sure.
All right,
Dugan's got a 2018 Honda Pilot that uses a quart of oil every 1,200 miles. Whoa. It has 33,000 miles. The dealer has done an oil consumption test and says it's within the factory allowable limits. Is there anything he can do, and why is this happening?
Well, honestly, sometimes they put together an engine which has thousands of parts, and everything is on maybe the loose end of the spectrum. It's supposed to be between this clearance and this clearance, and maybe it has a little bit more than it's right on the bottom edge. You know what I mean? And so when you put all that together, sometimes these engines use oil. And the manufacturer says, like I know Honda and those guys say, if it's like 900 miles and a quart, that's okay. The engine, we're not going to take it apart. We wouldn't know what to do with it anyway. We couldn't figure out what exactly it was. Now, if it's more than that, yeah, they'll fix it. But less than that, they won't. Here's the deal. You go 3,000 miles or 4,000 miles, you're 4 quarts low in oil. And so, and how many times do people, honest to God, check their oil nowadays?
Very few.
Yeah. And so you've got to start doing that. And you can, if you complain enough, they might do a little something for you. They may put a different engine in it, put a crate engine in it. But it's a pain in the butt. But whatever you do, don't ever let it run low on oil, because then it's on you, not on them.
So, that's a good point. It'd be under the factory recommended amounts of oil.
And so if you waited the 10,000 miles to change the oil, it'd be 10 quarts low on oil. That doesn't hold 10 quarts. You know?
Yeah, so, not good.
That's the problem.
Not good. All right, that's good stuff. All right, we have more questions and answers coming up. Don't move on this week's edition of Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Here's Matt Perrault and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
It's Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network question and answer time. You guys have gone to letstalkwheels.com and sent in these questions for Mike to answer. Denny writes to you, Mike, I am visiting South Texas from Minnesota. Good time to do it.
Yep.
Hope you can help me with two questions. One, dealer recommended a brake fluid flush as a maintenance item. Is it necessary? And two, he's been driving for years, never run into that. Second question is concerning his 10-year-old GMC truck. Can he change to synthetic oil after driving for 50,000 miles on regular oil? He enjoys the show on the internet. Thank you, Denny, for listening. We appreciate it. But how about a flush, and what about switching over to synthetic?
First of all, you can easily switch over to synthetic. It's not a problem. I highly recommend it. And you can stretch your oil changes a little about maybe to about 5,000 or 6,000 miles, and that's great. As far as the brake fluid, yes, it's absolutely. I would do it at least every 3 years. And that because brake fluid is hygroscopic. It absorbs moisture. So what happens is you get a bunch of moisture in the system. It's basically water. And the brakes don't work as well. Also, they'll fade easier and things like that if you're using them like pulling a trailer or something like that. Now, the other side of that is it also, because it's in there, it gets corrosion. So you end up buying a master cylinder or calipers or something like that. So then you'll have all those problems. I've changed my brake fluid about every 3 years, and I've never had to replace a master cylinder. Back before, you know, years before that, I didn't, and I ended up having to change it. Now, it used to be you would change the brake fluid every time you did a brake job, but sometimes, like I just helped a neighbor do a brake job on his Jeep Grand Cherokee, and it had 97,000 miles. The brakes weren't even halfway gone. Huh. He changed because he felt guilty. But they were great.
He felt guilty? Why would he feel guilty?
And I said, and it's like a 2012. And I said, Roy, have you ever changed your brake fluid? Went, no, you don't have to do that. And I went, yeah, you do. And it was nasty. So we changed that at least. But I tell you what, you need to change it about every three years. And if you go four, it's probably not the end of the world. But try to do it every 3 years. It's not expensive, and you just get it done. Save some money
stuff.
In the long run. Let me trust you.
Interesting stuff. All right, you guys can always send in questions by going to letstalkwheels.com. Any question on automotive related, Mike will answer it. We'll get it on the show for you guys for sure, so be sure to head over to there. Click on the email, the question tab, and you can ask a question. Hopefully we'll get to it on the show at some point in the very near future. Mr. Herzing, thank you so much, my friend.
All right, big guy. Talk to you next week.
We are back same time, same place right here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.